Hello, this is Tony for A Minute to Midnight. Chris is away today out of town, but we've got Matt with us in the studio. How are you going there, Matt?
Hey, Tony. It's nice to be back. And I hear we've got a really good show with Joni today. And we're just going to be...
And Carolyn Hamlet,
and Carolyn too. As well. Yeah. And we're just going to hear a few things from Joni about some of the discussions we've had in recent weeks. Some of the things... we've had some good feedback and some comments about the articles and the shows, and we're just going to talk a little bit about those things, and Joni's just going to discuss some of those things in a bit more depth as well too.
And then following Joni we'll have Carolyn Hamlet as well,
and the topic we'll be continuing with is to discuss the Antichrist.
And we're welcoming back now Joni Stahl. So how are you today, Joni?
I'm doing pretty good, thanks for having me on again.
Always great to have you on here. So, yeah, the last time we talked on air, we were talking about the Antichrist and who it could possibly be, and kind of discussed it. You know, we had a little bit with Carolyn Hamlet and Matt and Chris. And so we're sort of picking up again here a little bit on that theme. And I think in the last interview, we possibly gave people the impression that we were leaning towards President Barack Obama possibly being the Antichrist. And we went that way deliberately, you know, because of, well, to get people to think and realize that he is an Antichrist. But I don't think any of us actually believe he is the first beast or final Antichrist. And I'm pretty sure that's your opinion as well, judging by what you've written on a couple of articles now that can be found on our aminutetomidnight.com website. So can you just explain a little bit where you're coming from there, Joni?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, mainstream Christianity, you know, we all know that Christ is going to return soon. Like, we all know that. But there's this mad dash to putting the finger on, that's him, to find out just who the Antichrist is right now. Because everybody really does know that we are at the very end. So a lot of people have, you know, a pretty good basis of knowledge about end time things. But what is lacking is we have to go to the original blueprint plans that the Lord showed us just who this personage is. And it's tempting to look at Obama because of the fact that we are in the last days. He does have features that do stand out, you know, this kind of a pompous, arrogant, kind of Teflon kind of character. But that's not enough. And we can't lean on that. We have to look at historical evidence of where this man comes from. And according to Daniel chapter 8, he is the king of the north. And the king of the north is Syria. And we know that the Jews have to be tricked by somebody who they're going to receive as their own. And the Jews are not going to receive somebody who's not Jewish. Because remember, he has to come as a counterfeit Messiah to them. They're not going to accept anybody who does not have a Semitic background. And in that article I was writing, I was saying about Obama, he has a Hamitic background, which is from the line of Ham. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Of these were the whole world peopled, okay? So the Jews have been very meticulous in keeping perfect record as they have been able to do so. And so by the time that this Antichrist comes to power, they're not going to accept somebody who is from the Hamitic line. They're going to look for somebody who perfectly matches the Messiah that they have been looking for from the Semitic line. So, you know, also, you know, we look at Obama and, you know, we want to quickly assume that he's the Antichrist because of the times that we're living in. But he can't fulfill all those things. First of all, he considers himself to be a Christian, which we know he's not. And then he vacillates over to Islam, which we believe he's Islamic. Well, we know that the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 11, he does not regard any god, neither the god of his fathers. He doesn't regard any god. So this couldn't be Obama, because Obama regards two gods, Allah or Jesus Christ. So this man of sin that's going to come is not going to regard any god, because the god he's going to regard is the one he's going to be incarnated by, and that's Satan himself. So I could see where it's tempting, though, because there's been so many people debating and even in visions and saying, no, I know for a fact, I know it's him. And, you know, I'm not going to put the people down. I mean, whatever their visions are, they're his. But we have to go back and we have to see what it says about this man of sin. And this man of sin is going to come out of a 10 federated nation. He doesn't create a federated nation of 10. He is the outgrowth of it. When he appears, we're going to know it. There's been so much speculation on who's the Antichrist. But the one thing we're going to know about him is what it says in 2 Thessalonians. It says, when the restrainer is taken out of the way, then cometh that wicked who will be revealed by many, you know, miracles, signs, and wonders.
That's exactly where I can't see Obama being the Antichrist for that reason alone, because I've got an article as well I want to stick out on onto our website, which I wrote a while ago, but need to put it on there. See, Revelation 13, 13 and 14, and it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of the people because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. That's talking about the false prophet. And it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. And it says in Matthew 24, 24, for false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive even the elect. And 2 Thessalonians 2, 9, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie. I cannot see Pope Francis, and I cannot see Barack Obama doing that.
Yeah, well, there's no way, because, you know, Jesus is referred to as the mystery of godliness, while the Antichrist is revealed as the mystery of iniquity. And as far back as from Adam and Eve, remember, Satan knew right away. I mean, he didn't waste any time. He had to immediately get involved with the righteous line. And in my article, I was describing the fact that Cain and Abel, we have these two people that were the children of Adam and Eve. So we had Cain and we had Abel, and they represent a wicked and a righteous line. And that's what God has through the entire Bible. That's why Jews are meticulous with genealogy, because he has to have a righteous line, obviously, to bring about the Messiah to his people, and eventually, of course, to the rest of the world. So he had to do whatever he could, which, of course, was to murder Abel. Of course, Seth took his place. And then we go into Genesis chapter 6, where we see that the sons of God, that they saw the women that were fair, and they took them unto themselves, and they procreated with them, and they created a hybrid sort of people. Okay, so Satan was trying to infiltrate the human race to frustrate the line, that righteous line that Christ would come through. And he takes it all the way through. I mean, just like you were talking about the false prophet, we saw Jannes and Jambres do that when Moses went before Pharaoh. Remember how, you know, he was doing, showing signs and miracles that the Lord told him to do. And of course, Pharaoh brought out his magicians. Well, this is the same thing. This is the same thing Satan is going to do. Remember, Satan is not anointed anymore. He operates in the paranormal. We saw in the book of Job, chapter 1, he set fire down from heaven to consume the children of Job. So it's not a big deal for Satan to send forth fire and do all these things. So we know that the Antichrist is given his seat and his power and an hour from Satan himself, because we know ultimately Satan knows that he's a spirit, so he has to incarnate himself into a man. And because he incarnates himself into a man, the only way people are going to follow him at this point is going to be by supernatural demonstrations of power. That's why we have a lot of problems in the body of Christ right now, and we have to be very careful. And the danger of the race of looking for the Antichrist is that, you know, it's one thing to be aware of who he is and to really understand where this man originates from, okay? Because, you know, in Revelation 17:11, it talks about the beast that was and that is was of and is not and is of the seven and will be of the eight. Well, who was the beast in the beginning? That was Nimrod. Well, he no longer is, but he was one of the seven, okay? And that is Satan's super states, you know, where you have Egypt, Babylon, Media Persia, you know, Greece, the Roman Empire, right?
Yeah, and the Assyrians,
Right, so it's not that Nimrod will be revived like a resurrection because it's appointed unto man once to die and then that's it, okay? But he has to have all the characters of his previous predecessors. Okay, that would mean he would have to have, you know, like a part of him being Nebuchadnezzar, Xerxes, Alexander the Great, and Claudius Caesar. He has to have the components of all these kings. Not to mention, don't forget, he's a king of fierce countenance. And another thing, we want to always take an American-centric view on Babylon. You know, we do that. We American-centrize the Bible.
Yeah.
And we don't read it as a Middle Eastern piece because, see, when we read and compare Isaiah 13 and 14 and Isaiah 50 and 51 and Revelation 17 and 18, those all show really a Chaldean king. It shows exactly where the epicenter of this is going to be. So he's not going to come out of a Western nation. There's nowhere in the Bible that even remotely suggests that he comes out of a Western coalition of governments. Nowhere. Satan doesn't care about any other place but Jerusalem. You know, the abomination of desolation, we know that according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we know that according to Matthew chapter 24, he goes into the temple and he takes the seat as God and declares himself that he's God. So who wants to be God more than Satan?
My thoughts for some time have been the Rothschild family claims to descend from all the way back to Nimrod. They've got their hands in deep in Israel. I mean, they're not living in the Middle East. They're British or whatever, ultimately, or Germans. And yet, I'm sort of thinking they've got control largely of the financial system, have done for a long time. I'm wondering whether somebody from the Rothschilds' line or associated with them somewhere is where the Antichrist will actually rise from.
Well, I know what you're talking about. They're the sons of Hermon, okay? So that goes back into the Merovingian dynasty when they had the Carolingian dynasty and the Merovingian dynasty. And just in brief, the Merovingian dynasty is comprised of a 13 family nobility. And so I see where you're coming from because the Rothschilds are, they're part of that.
And they claim to be of Jewish descent.
Well, yeah, they claim to be of Jewish descent. So don't forget, Satan can't be in one place all the time. So he had to go all the way back and he has to always network, and it's a network of power. So that is that Merovingian dynasty is really a lore. Although there is a truth and a reality about this 13 family dynasty. And you know, you have the Sinclair, the Normans, you know, the Rothschilds, you have all these people, and let's face it, they are all Luciferians, every one of them, okay? And maybe on another show we can talk about it, but, you know, there's a thing that I did a really good study on called the Jewish Fifth Column. And that was very, very interesting. In fact, it was written by some historians, and there's no better historians than these people that put this together. And so you see where the Rothschilds came out of this Jewish fifth column during the time of Ferdinand and Isabella, because that is when they were forced to convert to Judaism. And that's where you got, you know, Loyola, you know, Ignatius Loyola, his last name really was Cohen. And so the ones that were the Muranos that went and became converted did so because they were zealous. They pretended to be zealous. They had a feigned conversion so that they can infiltrate the Catholic Church and gain power to get up to the head. You know, that's why, you know, when you do your history right, the first five popes were of Jewish descent. So out of them also, it's important to say that because, you know, the papal church will play a huge piece in the very end, which I don't believe the false prophet is going to be a Catholic. I don't believe that because there's no mystery to the Catholic Church. We have to look at a Babylonian system. Remember the Nicolaitans, the Lord that Jesus said he hated?
Yep.
So, you know, we have to look at, you know, at we have to go take it all the way back to the creation of civilization at Nimrod, because every lie that has ever been told, every religious twist and bend and theory and discipline that's not of Christ, every single thing that's a lie comes out of that Babylonian system. And even, you know, look at, you know, like I was saying, the Nicolaitans. Why does God say, Jesus said, but you have this, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, of that which I also hate? Well, who are the Nicolaitans? The Nicolaitans were a group of people that came out of, the Byzantine era. You remember when Constantine conquered that part of the Eastern Empire? Well, he was the one that united church and state. There was so much paganism going on and so much infighting that he officialized the Catholic Church. And so what it is, it's a combination of Christianity, Judaism, and Babylonianism. That's what the Catholic religion is. So we see that Babylonianism has had its roots through all these pagan religions. And so the Antichrist, he's not going to regard any fathers, you know, meaning, you know, Babylonian fathers. So he can't be Jewish. He can't be Christian. He can't be Muslim. He can't be any religion. He's going to want to exalt a God that no one has ever worshiped before. That is such a strong, preponderating thing to me because we keep looking at one man. This person that's going to come on the scene, no one knows who he is right now. I fully believe he's alive, but no one knows who he is yet. He can't be known, but he will be known in a moment, and I believe it's going to be very soon. It has to be. Look at everything that's happening right now, and it's completely lining up with Scripture. And the hotbed of Scripture is the Middle East, because, you know, when we look at, like, you know, the six seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, the vial judgments, the epicenter of all those judgments are going to be in the Middle East.
Yeah, that's
true.
So
the Antichrist is going to come out of the Middle East.
The other thing is people use for an argument for Obama being the Antichrist is all sorts of signs like 666 is coming up everywhere and racehorses about pharaohs and, you know, all kinds of things that they point to as signs, photographs with them with horns and all sorts of stuff. I mean, there are a lot that are very convincing. But then we've got to remember that Satan can counterfeit all of these things quite carefully. If Satan is actually wanting people to believe that Obama is the Antichrist, so that almost like Carolyn Hamlet's talked about them putting a false Antichrist before the, like, before a false Messiah comes, like there's a fake Antichrist. Well, Obama could be that. Satan could be got this whole plan together to get all these people thinking Obama is the Antichrist. And then so when the real Antichrist comes along, the false Messiah, many people maybe think, oh, he's Jesus or is the Messiah because we've already had the Antichrist.
You know, I fully believe that. Like, I totally agree with Carolyn on that, and I've thought about that myself, that if anything, Obama is like a trial run.
Yeah.
Okay? So, I mean, and, you know, look, it doesn't matter. I mean, he can have those horns. I saw them. You know, all these things, you know, you can do all these, look at pictures, and they're real. Like, I get it. Like, I've seen them myself, and they're kind of like, wow. But we have to stay focused on one thing. Satan is a counterfeiter. And the one thing he is doing over time is he counterfeits God. We cannot lose sight of the fact that he is counterfeiting God, because that's the one thing he wants. He wants worship as God totally. Everybody is going to get to a point where they're going to be so sick and tired of their leaders. I believe there's really no true leadership anymore, and people will be ready for him. So he has to have a breakdown of morality. He has to have a breakdown. I mean, look at the church or the body of Christ. I'd rather say it like that. I have never seen such a shattered body of Christ. Now, I know everybody is, you know, they're doing their best to follow Christ. They go to church. They believe on the Lord. They have their Bible studies. That's good. But I've noticed that nobody studies.
Yeah, that's prophecy. Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's compared to the number of people that were even 20 years ago, I think there's a lot less. In fact, probably Christians read the Bible a lot less generally.
Well, you know, because it's easier for them to just stay, you know, kind of like, you know, you just go to church, you learn, and, you know, that's fine. But, you know, that whole Bible was written for a reason. And you know what's really sad is that you have so many pastors nowadays, and I know a ton of them. I've been around a long time. And basically, they all stand on the same ground saying, well, there's too many views, and we don't want to do that. We just want to be fishers of men. But think about it. You know, the Lord is showing us through the entire Word. You don't even have to have a seminary degree. I don't have a seminary degree. I just studied. And as you know what I believe, as you study, the Holy Spirit will begin to lead you to see the truth. He'll open up scriptures. He'll illuminate passages to you. There's a fascination, I think, and a curiosity with this man of sin, who he is. But it's not that difficult when you study the Bible, and I don't mean it takes like years to study, to see that he comes out of the Middle East. I believe with all my heart, he's going to be a Danite Jew. He has to be a Jew. He has to prove that he's a Jew. And, you know, I like what Carolyn was saying, back to what you were saying about her. You know, in one of her interviews, she was talking about this being of light that appeared before her.
Yeah.
And it was so, remember that? Well, she was saying it was so powerful that she was so enamored by him, that he was full of light and all these things. That's not Obama.
No.
No, he's not the king of Babylon. He's not a person that the world is marveling at.
No.
He's just a man.
Yeah.
There is a trigger point, I believe, but before that, there has to be a buildup to that. Remember, people have to want this man. And what does he sell them on? He promises them peace and safety.
Yeah.
Right? He promises them peace and safety, and he wins them over by flatteries. And he starts a whole economic system.
We've heard Joni describe why she doesn't believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist, since he's a Hamite, and she doesn't believe that the Jews will ever accept the Hamite as an Antichrist. So now we've got Carolyn Hamlet on the show. Welcome, Carolyn.
Hi, it's nice to be back. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's always nice to have you on here as well. And so Joni also said that how she's listened to what you described of the most illumined of all and appearing as a being of light, and that certainly does not sound like Barack Obama. And in the previous interview, you also described Obama coming out of the pit. And again, he was evil, completely evil. That doesn't sound like a being of light or someone that's going to fool anyone that there's a, that they are a messiah. So also, you know, I think the Illuminati may want us to believe that Barack Obama is the Antichrist. And when war and destruction comes, maybe the Third World War, he might look more and more like the Antichrist, and Muslim fighting Muslim, and maybe also against the Jews. And once there's significant devastation and the world is sick of it, the real Antichrist could step forward at that point and appear to be the saviour. And that wouldn't be Barack Obama. I can't see anyone thinking him as being a saviour. So when the real Antichrist comes, many people will be deceived, even Christians, because they will worship the Messiah or the false Messiah, because they may think the Antichrist has already been, be it Obama or Erdogan of Turkey or someone else. So it brings us back to that whole false Antichrist, fake Antichrist and false Messiah. So, Carolyn, I just wonder what your thoughts might be here.
Well, there's a lot of things I could, say coming from different angles. I guess probably the most important angle I could come from is coming from the organization and knowing what they had planned, just what I was told and is also written in their books. I don't think they're going to be deviating from the main outline of that plan. And the main outline, first of all, what they're doing, what you can see happening now, is that they're leading people into a lot of areas of confusion. They want everybody to be confused. They don't know. They want people to get to the point where they don't know what's up, you know, who to believe. It's really going to take proper spiritual discernment for people to know what is of God and what isn't of God. That's been my main message all along. And there's only one way to know what is of God, and that is to be part of God's kingdom. And of course, that's back to the point that some people don't like to hear about. I think if they understood the truth, they would agree with me that, I mean, they don't want to hear about it because their spirits, they don't understand it. It has to do with the fact that Jesus Christ is real, and he is the one that we are able to be connected to God and have that spiritual discernment. And that's a whole nother thing to explain how that works out. But the plan is Antichrist. They use the word Christ for a reason. You know, it's, as I've said before, it is to get people to think. If they use the word, the English word Christ, and of course it would be the same thing in other languages, meaning anointed one, chosen one, that people are going to think it has to do with the Bible. You know, it fools a lot of people. What they want people to be very confused. So what the plan is they want to put a global ruler in. And as I've said before, before the year 2000, they had hoped to have this, but it hasn't happened according to their timetable. So what I was told is this was going to be a leader that was going to come in as someone bringing peace to the world. There was going to be lots of wars first. This is before I knew what the Bible had to say about it. I'm coming from what I was told the plan would be. First of all, the world was in a more peaceful place after World War II, and the world was progressing toward peace and good brotherhood, people loving one another, being tolerant of one another's religions, and not being antagonistic toward each other. And that was a problem for the organization. They had to start working to take people away from that, to take away the goodness that people have so they could hand it back to them according to the rules of the organization. It's so deceptive. It's like they give people back. They give people the counterfeit and tell the people that they're solving the problems, but they started the problems to begin with.
And, you know, the thing is, because Satan is a master deceiver, and he will get his minions in the Illuminati and in the Illuminists to do the deceiving. And I mean, it would be nothing difficult for him to create supposed signs pointing to someone like Barack Obama being this antichrist. Like, you've seen photos of him with horns and different other things and all sorts of things. People come up with signs to say, that shows, it proves Obama's the antichrist. And I'm thinking, no, it doesn't prove that at all, because it has to line up with scripture for a start.
And going by their plan, it's not time yet. It's according to their plan. And then if you want to compare it to the Bible, it's not time for that. Both the Bible and also the plan is that there's going to be much more chaos happening. The riots haven't started happening in the United States. There hasn't been the economy crash. There hasn't been the major wars that have been planned. There's lots. They need to take down America. The plan is to take down America. And I mean, it's working. They're doing it from the inside out.
And Obama's playing a big part in that role. So he can't be a messiah if he's a destroyer.
No, he can't. And what they're going to come in on, what they want is the destruction first. Then they bring in many different ways they're going to do this. They have the fake ones. I know this from being in the satanic, from the inner circle of, I know it sounds crazy and it sounds unbelievable, but it's true. I was in the inner circle with the high ascended masters that have written the plan. The father of the plan was the master Hilarion, that he was called the father of the plan. He's like right next to Lucifer. Master Hilarion and I were very close. I was also close to the other ascended masters that you had, that people can read, that Madame Blavatsky wrote about and you, and also the ones like the Master DK Duacoel, who dictated the books to Alice A. Bailey for Lucifer Trust, which became Lucius Trust. Those were the ascended masters that my mother and I also used to associate with on a daily and nightly basis. So that was the inner circle. We were involved. You know, people want to talk about secret programs in the United States government or governments around the world. We were involved in secret projects, and that a lot of the people involved in the other levels of the organization are not involved in. There weren't that many people and humans involved in the section that I was involved in this last section that we actually were. I was part of the process to bring in the entity that they told me was going to be the Christ, which they consider an office, the global ruler. So whether they use this entity or not, I don't know. Whether they use him or not, it's still going to be the same type of an entity that will be charming. They want to bring him in as everybody's going to want to trust him. They'll believe he's a good person. He's come here to bring peace to the world, the peace that the organization was bringing, because they were the ones who started the chaos to start with, so that they could bring in this global ruler. It's a trick. It's the biggest trick there is. I mean, it's complicated for me to even tell you all the different angles they come in to bring this deception. And one level, they have the Christians believing that several different views that could possibly happen. And so if you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you, you can be totally tricked. They have let's say, for instance, back to Obama. Obama's being pushed as presented as a Muslim. And so do you think the Jews are going to accept that? No, they're not. Whatever this organization does, they are in charge of the media all around the world. So they can, and I've seen how they are able to, they're doing mass programming through television and movies, and there's also satellite technology that is able to change your thinking. This is real. So they can change your body chemistry. They can change your thinking. I don't know, maybe they have every human being's brain sequence on file, but if they have your brain sequence, they know exactly where you are. You don't need a cell phone. I mean, you could be without your cell phone, and if they have your brainwave sequence, they can track you down and know exactly where you are. And they have instruments that can implant thoughts, feelings. I mean, it's worse than the craziest sci-fi movies. So they are totally able to persuade mass mind control people and already doing this. So, you know, people ask sometimes, are there such thing as zombies? Are there going to be zombies? Well, it's happening today. They may not be walking around like that are already like physically dead people and dripping blood and stuff. But there's masses of zombies out there now that don't even realize they're zombies. And I recognize this because of being in an organization, also have being a victim of mind control programming and coming out of it. And I know their techniques. I used to be one of those people who used to do this to people. So I know how it's done. And I was told as a kid how they were going to do it. So what frustrates me is how easily swayed people are today. They're playing everybody. So there's the people that think there's good aliens and bad aliens. And they're highly involved beings. Some people don't even believe there's a God, but they might believe that there's a highly evolved being or races of entities that are going to take us to the next higher level in spirituality. Well, you know, I always tell people, look around. We aren't exactly close to peace, are we? We're getting worse and worse. There's murder. There's chaos. It's going to get worse. And yet these people are actually going to believe that there's aliens and higher people that are telling you, hey, we're taken to the earth to the next higher class. And then there's ones that are going to believe that the highly evolved beings, they don't have to have spaceships. They don't have to have bodies. They can come as light. There's some that can materialize and they can be any kind of form whatsoever and lead people to believe whatever they want to believe, whether they're atheist or whether they believe in many gods or one God. So they're taking it up from all different areas to convince people that, first of all, everything, all of that is anti-Christ. It is anti who Jesus Christ is. So I suggest everybody check out and see who Jesus Christ is. And if you don't, I think most people haven't heard the story of who he is. If they actually knew who he was, they would have to go back and realize who we are in the creation and why we are so important to the creator of the universe. Why everybody wants planet Earth and wants to take us out.
Comes back to, in the end, is our focus really needs to be on Jesus and with guidance from the Holy Spirit. And looking for the Antichrist shouldn't be our primary focus anyway, should it? Our primary focus, whilst we have to be aware of this stuff going on and not be fooled, our focus needs to be on God first and foremost, not on the Antichrist.
I think it's good to be aware of what's going on in the world. We can be overwhelmed by all the negativity. Everybody needs to seek the proper balance. And it may be different for each person. I mean, I don't know a lot of what's going on in global politics right now because I cringe at the thought of, because I know where we're headed and I see it happening. So for me, it is draining to do more than just read headlines on what's going on. And I just try to refresh myself spiritually, you know, feed my spirit with what is of God. I can sense for myself when I'm out of balance. So I go back to balancing out properly. And our only spiritual discernment is going to come from God himself. And it's something we have to work on every single day. And, you know, when the times get bad, who are we going to turn to? Who can you trust? Who can you trust? It's all going to come down to right there in your spirit. Can you trust your spiritual discernment, your gut feeling? Can you? I mean, I found that most people can't.
It does say in passages like 2 Thessalonians 2:9 and Revelation 13:13-14, Matthew 24:14. In all these passages, it says a lawless one or false Messiah will perform great signs and wonders. And, you know, the idea is to deceive everyone, including the elect. So this is why it's so important that we know who Jesus Christ is, the true Jesus Christ, so we aren't fooled.
Yeah. I mean, I think important things to know, again, is that according to their plan, it's not time. You know, when you think about it, ask yourself, is the world ready yet to take a global leader in? The United Nations was created to make this happen. is the world, the entire world, ready? This is the way they want to do it. If they're going to force it on people, it's not the way they want to do it. I mean, it's possible they could try to force it on people, but they don't want to do it this way. They want people to be excited and embrace this new global leader, the person, the savior of the world, who's going to make the world a better place.
And of course, we know that person is not the real savior. It is the Antichrist. So just before we close up on this, Carolyn, what do you think about the programs, you know, like their program like Lucifer now on television?
I've seen just a little bit of like a preview to it. And what I saw was disturbing to me. It's not surprising to me that this program's out. It's typical the way the organization is trying to groom people to be ready to believe that Lucifer actually is something good. Also, that these beings that I used to work with, that, I mean, there's many of them now, hybrids. They're back in the 80s. We were creating hybrids. And so you can imagine how many more are here now. And so it's actually, they want people to think this is good. That these are like superhumans, which are better, but they're not. They're demonic. They're like straight from the pit of hell. If people think Obama's bad, Obama's nothing compared to these beings, these entities that are just, they're straight. The ones that I was involved in helping to bring in some of the most powerful ones that came in in the 1980s, that were setting up camp here around the world, setting up camp to get this last section of the plan going. They're some of the most evil ones out of the entire spiritual hierarchy of Satan. And these are the ones that are creating hybrid bodies. You know, people want to think that these guys can't mate with humans. Well, they can. And there's lots of offspring. And these offspring are evil. They're so, so very deceptive that if you don't have your guard up, if you don't have your spiritual discernment, which comes straight from God, you can be easily fooled because they know how to play you. Go look up what a narcissist is and go check and see what they do to people and how, I mean, some of the best people in the entire world, some of the most intelligent people in the entire world have been victims of narcissists. It means that anybody can be fooled by a narcissist personality. Well, these are the cons of all cons, the most narcissistic entities that there are. So everybody needs to be ready, you know. Anyway, thank you.
Carolyn, thanks for coming in again today. And Matt, that was pretty interesting from both Carolyn and Joni. So we'll hand over to you now. I know you've got some great thoughts as well on the subject.
Really interesting hearing both Carolyn and Joni talk about this need for a savior type character. Carolyn talks about that narcissistic personality who likes to come in and help people out, but it's only going to be for their benefit. But one of the things that would perhaps bring the situation about is a time of absolute chaos. And this is going to be the only kind of situation that you'll see where people will have a desperate need to have a figure like the Antichrist come in, and they'll accept everything that person offers them. One of the scriptures that I've looked at recently, discussed by a gentleman called Russ Dizdar, he's from Shatter the Darkness, is Thessalonians 2:3, and I'll just read this to you. This is the New American Standard. It says, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction." Russ talks about the word apostasy, and he goes into some detail, and you can hear some of the things he talks about on his Shatter the Darkness website. The word apostasia in the Greek is described as the great revolt, the rebellion. It's not just a falling away. It's actually, it got a lot more to it than just that. And when you think in terms of a great rebellion or perhaps even a type of military type coup situation that the world has never seen before, this is going to leave people feeling very desperate. They'll have no food, they'll have no money, the place will be in absolute chaos, there'll be a shambles, there'll be no law and order, those types of situations. So, and also it mentions in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 that the man of lawlessness is revealed. Joni talks about this also, that, and this is why I don't think Obama is going to be the Antichrist, that this man of lawlessness or the Antichrist will be revealed. And when he does become revealed, it's like he's going to, you know, be this miracle worker, this charismatic character that will come and say, I've got the answer. I have, you know, those things that I'm going to provide you with food, with shelter, with money, I'm going to save you. And he's going to be that kind of savior, that savior character. And people will absolutely fall for it. And I'm talking about Christians, and it's that level of deception. People will just be desperate for the need of someone like that. Also, I just wanted to add in, I just put in one of my articles just recently, is a Masonic saying, which is essentially ordo ab chao, which means in the from the Latin translated, order out of chaos. And it's interesting, they've got a term like this, and this is a Luciferian group. So if you think about order out of chaos, what does that mean and how does it apply to this situation?
Yeah, well, we certainly see loads of chaos developing around the world in every way, shape or form at the moment in terms of man-made chaos, and also it's happening in the natural global planetary things as well. But also, Joni was talking earlier about the Hamite and Shemite issue. I believe you've got some ideas there too, Matt.
Yeah, that was really fascinating. She pointed out in her article that the Jewish people won't accept anybody, when we're talking about a coming leader, because they didn't accept Jesus the first time around, they're looking for the new Messiah to come. Joni talks about the sons of Noah, Ham and Shem. Ham, he disgraced his father and he was cursed by Noah. He found his father naked, found Noah naked, and he went outside, rushed out and shamed him. And as a result of that, he was cursed. So the Jewish people are not going to accept anyone that comes from the lineage of Ham. So that kind of rules out Obama, because it seems that he would come from that lineage.
And we do know that the whole thing of Antichrist is a false Christ or a counterfeit Christ. We know that the Jewish nation hasn't accepted Jesus as the Christ, so therefore they're still looking for a Christ. So it's logical. The only one that they're going to accept is somebody that comes from a Jewish line.
Yep, absolutely.
All right. Well, it's been a great show again today. Please remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel, because we've got more shows with Joni and Carolyn coming up, and also other great guests. Please check out our website, aminutetomidnight.com. We've got a great bunch of articles on there. Our YouTube videos can also be found there. And now we've got an audio stream as well. So the shows are available simply as audio for download. And now we have an iTunes channel as well. Chris should be back next time. And I want to thank Matt for sitting in for Chris again today. So that's it from A Minute to Midnight for this episode. So it's goodbye from Tony.
And it's goodbye from Matt. Thank you.